Okay, we read where, this man says, Moses informs us that heaven was created the exact time as the earth. We need to know that in the Hebrew, this word is always in the plural. But he fails to understand it's always in the dual. So he ain't going to fit thousands and thousands of the elect's heavens into the two heavens of Genesis 1:1. Now, so he says Moses, he created the heavens and the earth at the same time. And he quotes Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. So these young earthers, they equate one with the other. That when it says, in Moses said in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that is the same as in Exodus 20 where he says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Now how many times I've said we have to pay attention to all the words. Now, Genesis 1:1. There's a whole lot more in here than most of it could ever begin to realize. And after spending many hundreds of hours on this, I don't even claim to have scratched the surface. So we're told in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. When did He create them? On 6 days? Or in the beginning?
In the beginning.
In the beginning. Is that the same as where Moses said in Exodus 20, verse 11, for in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth? Is that not the same thing? We say, well, it has to be the same thing. It's not. Moses didn't say in Exodus 20, verse 11, for God told us in the first chapter of Genesis, that in 6 days he made the heavens and the earth. And he doesn't say that. These are two different facts. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that created is what is just a it's a simple verb, but it has additions to it. And when they put like a little 7 as a suffix to that, it changes the simple word create to what in English we call a pluperfect. And it's the difference between my wife baked a cake. Yesterday my wife baked the cake. Or yesterday my wife had baked a cake. Okay? I mean, they're both past tense, but one is called pluperfect. It is not happening at the time that the statement is being made. In the beginning, at this beginning point, God created the heavens and the earth. No. In the beginning, God already had created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 4. Again, we're talking about a day, Sabbath day. He talks about that He wouldn't let them enter into their rest. They shall not enter into my rest. Hebrews 3:11. Take heed, therefore, lest you be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, and be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left unto us of entering into His rest any of you should seem to fall short. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. For we, which have believed, do enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the end of the sixth day. Is that what it says? The works were finished from the foundation. Huh?
Oh my.
In the beginning, God had created the heavens and the earth. He already had created them. Now here's where the Bible and science mesh. People poo-poo the Big Bang, like it's the big boogeyman, the big Big Bird, or some dumb thing. So I said, what is the difference if we call it the Big Bang or the God Awesome Blast? God talks about performing powerful things by the blast of his nostrils. Okay? And the Bible tells us that he is stretching out, spreading out the heavens like a curtain. And if you check Young's and Concordant, and even in the King James, it said he spread it. You know, when he put spread in an if, E-T-H, spread if. You know, that's like the Greek aorist tense. Is spreading. For God so loves the world. Shouldn't that be loved? Past tense. He's still loving. It's not come to an end. It's like he used to love the world, but now he doesn't. God still loves the world. Now they got it right in the rest of the verse. For God so loves the world. It didn't say then, for whosoever believed on him. No, whosoever believeth. You know? Present progressive. He so loves those that believes, and they should not be perishing, but be having aeonian life. So the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For years, I didn't have a clue what that meant. How could they be finished from the foundation? Listen. Scientists say that as far as they can understand, the universe started at a central point. And it had a beginning. Now, they didn't say that 30, 40 years ago. They're saying it now. Cosmologists, physicists, astronomers all concede that this universe did indeed have a beginning. And it started at an infinitesimal point, from which it spread out. And time and space spread out with matter. It isn't like there was this huge space from all eternity and God built a universe inside of it. The space itself is a creation. And scientists now believe that as the universe expands, space expands to receive it. Now, back in, I don't know how many, not too many years ago, this one scientist detected what they call, you know, radiation background noise in space, which is the echo left over from the Big Bang. Now, since they know that the heavens are spreading out, then when they're out here, at some time they were back here. And if they were spreading out here, they must have come from here. And if they ended up here and they're spreading, they must have come from in this one point. Do you know that the greatest Kabbalists have said that for 2,000 and 3,000 years? Did you know that Maimonides said that the universe began as a speck the size of a mustard seed? Who never had one class in physics, astronomy, or cosmology? 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, they said that. They believed that that's what was meant. It started at a single point, no bigger than a mustard seed. The entire universe. That's exactly what advocates of the Big Bang Theory say. Exactly what old Jewish Kabbalists were saying thousands of years ago, who really understood the Hebrew of the Old Testament. Okay? Now, they know by the laws of physics and quantum mathematics and all of these higher systems of learning, they know how to project backwards what would happen if you took the universe and start squeezing it back to its source. They can also extrapolate, not perfectly, but to a degree that it makes sense. They can extrapolate how the universe expanded. What happened in the first 100 millionth of a second? What happened? Okay? What happened the second 100 millionth of a second? And the third and the fourth? And the first minute? And the first 3 minutes? They can do it based on quantum math and physics. They can do it. They can work it out. Now, I used to hear, you know, this little takeoff on, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then, you know, they say, the scientists say, in the beginning, not God, but in the beginning was the hydrogen atom. In the beginning, the hydrogen atom, not God, the hydrogen atom. And that everything came from the hydrogen atom. It didn't make sense to me. How can you get all of the other elements from a hydrogen atom? First of all, hydrogen is the lightest element there is. Right? So the very lightest one there is. How can you get iron, which is very heavy, out of hydrogen? How do you turn a hydrogen atom into iron?
Well, how do you get the universe out of a mustard seed?
You take out all the air. Now, and then it gets very hot.
This is over my head, Bob.
It gets hot. But it appears the scriptures and scientists are agreed on this one. Now, so. In the beginning, God had created the heavens and the earth, and they were finished from the very foundation. How so? I mean, well, we have to see what it was He created and what He later made from what He created. And we'll see the foolishness of such heretics as this. They have not a clue as to what they're talking about. In the beginning, God had created the heavens and the earth. We know from science it's at a starting point and spread out. We know from the scriptures it started with God and spread out. Not only spread out, but it's still spreading. Those words are still, you know, in the future tense. God is spreading. And science tells us that the universe is today. It is spreading. Now, we know how scientists figured that out, but how did the writers of the scriptures know that? How could they look up at the starry skies at night and say, looks to me like it's spreading out at millions of miles an hour. There's no perception of movement at all. Except as the earth twists, you see. So what God created was everything that was necessary for what He was going to make. He did not create the heavens and the earth in 6 days, as this person says it tells us in Exodus. It does not. In Genesis it says, in the beginning God created. The word is bara. And it means to bring in something new. Something really new. In Exodus 20 it says, for in 6 days God made. First of all, even the translators knew not to put create. They put created in Genesis 1:1, but not in Exodus 20:11. Why didn't they put in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth? Because He didn't do that in 6 days. But what did He do in 6 days? He made the heavens and the earth. Well, what's the difference? All the difference in the world. In Genesis 1:1, He brought into existence everything that exists in the universe. Through the first, or through day one, through day six, He formed all of that into everything as we now see it in the universe. Two totally different operations. Totally, totally different. They are not synonymous. The word bara and the word asah are two different words and they mean two different things. In the beginning He created it all. It was all there. But it wasn't until certain things transpired before He began His work of asah. We read something very interesting in the last verse of chapter 1. It says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested. It just means He stopped. He stopped from all His work which God created and made. Now that is a horrible translation there. The created and made are okay. But not the word and. There's no word and in the Hebrew. There, which God created, that's bara. And the word made is asah. God blessed all which God created. It should be two or four. That word should always be translated two or four, not and. All that God created to make. Or if you wanted to say that He created for making. You would never learn that in a million years reading the King James Bible. He did two things in chapter 1. He created the universe, and then for 6 days, not for in 6 days. That word in is not in Exodus 20 and verse 11. For in 6 days. No, for 6 days period, not for in 6 days. For 6 days then He did something else. Okay? What did He do? He made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. Are you seeing it? In a sense, in Genesis 1:1, He made all the raw materials of the heavens and the earth. And in the six creation periods, He fashioned it, molded it, built it. Okay? chapter 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2 have absolutely nothing to do with what happens in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and so on. Now, scientists will tell you, I mean, I haven't read that many books. The main books on this theme I've read are Dr. Schroeder's, who is an applied physicist, but a PhD, and he's a theologian. And so he tries to explain some of these more difficult scientific matters in layman's language. When in the Big Bang, according to scientists, for so long this explosion spread out, but it was a considerable time before there was light, because it was so dense. I mean, you pack 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars into a grapefruit.
Mustard seed.
It was, in a sense, an exploding black hole. There was no light. Scientists will say there's no light. Light could not escape. And there were no heavy metals. There was no iron or tin or lead, gold or silver. It was a hydrogen atom. So not only you condense the whole universe down to the size of a grapefruit or a mustard seed, you condense the whole universe down to hydrogen. This is mind-boggling.
You ain't wrong.
Now, so back to Genesis 1:1. So in other words, but scientists will tell you, not only was everything that exists in the universe in that exploding central point, not only was it all in there, it was infinitesimally timed to the trillionth of a megasecond. It had to be perfectly timed. The timing had to be flawless beyond imagination, or it wouldn't have worked. We wouldn't have what we have today. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, or more formless. Not that it didn't have any form at all. It was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I'm not completely sold on the idea yet that this is totally speaking about water covering the earth, although it certainly did. But I think it has a larger meaning. You know, remember that old song, "A Bridge Over Troubled Waters"? In a sense, I think that's what this is talking about. This is the beginning of the creation, and it's troubled waters. Troubled waters. I mean, you get the idea that something's not right here. Now, some will say, well, the earth, it should read, and the earth became without form and void. Well, actually, yes, it did in a sense became, but not at this point. Again, the Hebrew here is pluperfect in English. And it would more accurately be translated, "and the earth." The "and" is correct. The word "and" is in there. "And the earth." That's one word in Hebrew. "And the earth" is one word. It's "eretz," the word "earth," and then a sign for "and," and a sign for "the." So that's all. Isn't that just the word there is only "earth"? No, it's "and the earth," and it's in there. "And the earth was." Now, the only way you can translate that "was" if you translate it, "and the earth was already." It was already void and vacant, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. But a better translation would be, "and the earth had existed." pluperfect English, past tense, had existed. The earth was already this way or had existed in this condition. And notice what God says next. And God said, let there be light. Huh? Let there be light. What the scientists tell us happened after the Big Bang? It took a while before there was light. In the beginning, He had created the heavens and the earth. There was no light. Three verses later, He has to tell us in the third verse, let there be light. And it should read, and there became light. So you see how this idea of a Big Bang is not that stupid and atheistic and evolutionary nonsense and all of that. Millions of scientists work with the laws of physics and quantum math and all of these things, cosmology, astronomy. And all of their knowledge of all of the laws of physics fit into the model that the heavens and the earth had a beginning from a central point that exploded out in very rapidly. It's the only thing that fits. Nothing else fits. There's no other theory that fits except this thing that they've come up with, the Big Bang. You could call it the Big Spreading Out. And it would sound more scriptural. Fact of the matter is, it is scriptural. Christ calls it the spreading out. Scientists call it the Big Bang, which is just another term for it, spreading out rapidly and powerfully from the central beginning. Okay? Okay, where do we go from here? That's okay. I'll go back to my paper. Okay, so why does this person say, well, these can't be longer periods of time than 24 hours because we have, he said the short answer is we have a qualifier. And there was evening and there was morning, you see? It was day and night. That's got to be a liberal solar 24-hour day. But is that what evening and morning means? See? And so I told you years and years ago, I knew there was a much deeper meaning to that morning, evening, and morning. I just didn't want to take this guy on at the time, and I didn't want to get into it because I knew it was a big study. I've spent a whole year on this. I mean, I wrote some other articles and did some stuff, but mostly, you know, I was working on this. And I've got a lot of more material that I'm not giving you here today. I don't know if I ever will, but I have it up in my noodle for whatever purpose. So, do you understand now here that last verse? Everything that God had created to make? He created all this, what? To make this! So He did not make the heavens and the earth in six literal days, like it would say in the King James. But for 6 days, He made it. Okay? For 6 days, He made it. Asah. He even did some creating during that period of time. I'll get into that when we come to some stuff. I don't know when. It's got to be soon. We only have tomorrow morning. You know, it's interesting. There are three things in Genesis that God created. Genesis 1. Three things only. Who can tell me what they are quickly? Anyone? What three things did God create in the first chapter of Genesis? What? Man. What else? Heaven and earth?
New life.
Right. Okay, that's two. Heaven and earth. Man.
Light.
No. The word created is used one more time in that first chapter.
and man.
No, we have man. We got heaven and earth.
Light and dark.
And we got man. Nope.
Evil.
Nope. Okay, I'll get closer to you. This is the only thing in the first chapter of Genesis that is called great.
Oh, the
great
whale.
Oh, the whale. Okay. Notice it. And God created bara. This is new. This is something quite new. Man and female was quite new. That was different from any of the other animals or anything. It was new. He created them. This is a new thing coming into being. And the other thing he created was not only created, but he created great Nadine. What are the Nadine? Okay, and I'll get into that.
What verse is that?
That's be about verse 21. Okay. Now he says that the phrase in the evening and the morning is repeated 6 times in the creation account. Were it not used, then we would be justified in assuming that these could be longer periods of time. No. Since it is used, we have a pretty sound reason for why they are longer periods of time. If they were not used, then we might think that these were literal solar days of 24-hour duration. No, just the opposite. Evening and morning has absolutely nothing to do with the length of the time period that is being discussed. It's nothing to do with the length of the time. Evening and morning have to do with a condition. The evening is a condition that comes about at the end of a day. And morning is a condition that comes about at the end of a night. Okay? So don't be coming up with definitions of stuff that don't exist. And evening is as it begins to get dark, going from daylight to darkness. That transition period is the evening. As it goes from dark to becoming light, that division there between light and darkness and light, rather, that is called morning. It doesn't last for 3 hours. Or 6 hours or 12 hours like a day and a night do. Are we okay on the time yet then? 8 minutes. All right, let's cover some more things about day. Day is used to represent many things other than, you know, even the daylight part of a 24-hour solar cycle. Day is used to represent the word time, 67 times in the Old Testament. It just means time. Genesis 4:3. And in the process of time, it came to pass. Cain brought forth. In the process of yom, days. See? So we're day. Day and days, those 2,291 times, always comes from the word yom, Y-O-M, pronounced like home, not yum, but home. So in the process of time, in the process of, if you say, and in the process of days it came to pass, well, you would understand it, you see, but time fits better. In Deuteronomy 10:10, it speaks about the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel, and it was 40 years. Not in the Hebrew, it was 40 yoms. 40 yoms. Same word used for day. And where it talks about forever or for the eon many times, Isaiah 30 verse 8 and so on. It's Yom, day. Day can be used many ways. Now notice it. 1 Kings 1:1. David was old and stricken in years. The word is Yom. He was stricken in Yom. And after the end of two Yoms, years. Yom, the word is Yoms. Okay? Finally, Amos 4:4, and your tithes after three Yoms. But he's definitely speaking about 3 years, not day, not 24-hour cycles. But after 3 years, you bring in this other tithe, you see? Numerous times in the Old Testament, Yom is translated age. Stricken in age, old age, the whole age of Jacob. It's Yom. The Yom of Jacob. It's used to mean the word ago, or always, or season. They dwelt in the wilderness, a long season, a long Yom. This word is used all kinds of ways that never, ever insinuates 24 hours. In Chronicles, it's translated Chronicles. It's translated the word Chronicles 27 times in the Old Testament. It's translated continually. Or continuance. Or evermore. That's King James talk. So, Yom is not for a 24-hour period. It stands for time in general. Days, weeks, months, years, aeons, ages. How close are we now, Dennis? Can't see. He's got to change his thing. Now, another interesting verse is Genesis 1:14. God says, let there be lights in the firmament and something or another. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven and to divide the day from the night. How about that? Is a day and a night a day? No. God divided them. They're two different things. He divided the day from the night. How can it be the same thing? So when he says in the evening and the morning were day one, that could be millions or billions of years. There is no time limit set on that whatsoever. None. Are we almost there? Stop there. Okay. Let's take a break.